Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio. All right, what's up? Dean Blandino, welcome to another episode of Good Calls. Next to me in the house, Travis Hanson.
Travis, what's up, man? How you doing today?
What's up? What's up? He of two children. Travis, he had a line. What was the line, Travis? Babies are cool, but I'm like not having it anymore. What was it?
I don't remember. I'm just tired. I can't remember. You know, I got to get that out there, you know, because you guys put me on
Travis,
the
tired okay.
count.
Travis, you can say it's okay. Your wife's not going to listen and go, oh my God.
No, I think
Travis.
She feels the same way. We don't want to hold
basically,
anything
Travis
against our
is,
sons.
He's ecstatic, over the moon that he has a child, another baby. But
just
he's
over the sleepless
he's
nights.
He's over the sleepless yeah. nights. It's kind
as
of
I'm
like,
sure most people are at this point.
And then speaking of sleepless nights, Joe Madrid back from where in the world has Joe Madrid been? Where
I was in Vegas for the fights this weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the fights. How was Vegas? Like how
Vegas?
I haven't been in almost a year. How
Vegas is awesome, man. It's doing good. Very, very, very crowded this weekend.
Well, this was this is a big fight weekend.
Huge. Huge.
So
huge weekend.
I can't imagine thinking about Vegas, what the most crowded weekends in Vegas have to be when there's a big I think the UFC is probably surpassed boxing in terms of like more volume, but I still think a big boxing match outdoes UFC. Like pound for pound, the big boxing match is still like the go-to event.
I think this was like the fight of our generation at this point.
Okay.
Well, there hasn't been good, like what else is there?
I'm just very,
that's the thing,
it's very disappointing yeah. to me for even that to be a consideration. Well, let's jump right into it. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, to say that, because this was my takeaway, to say that this is the fight of our generation is sad. Because I was watching, so they honored like past champions at the fight and Holyfield and Tyson. Obviously, Lennox Lewis commented the fight. And whether it's Ali, Foreman, Frazier, Holyfield, Larry Holmes, honestly, in my mind, and I don't want to sound like a crusty old guy because I'm not, but they would eat either one of these guys for breakfast.
Like, I agree.
For breakfast. Like Deontay Wilder, while he has ridiculous knockout power, he's not a great boxer. Like he's not technically, I don't know what was going on with him during the fight, but
something was wrong.
Something was wrong. He took the big shot right behind the ear that knocked him down. I think that was it, the third round. And he after that, it looked like one of those videos when you see the drunk guy that's getting beat up that keeps getting up but he can't stand straight. And he kept – and Fury, who is a pretty good boxer technically and boxed really well in the first fight, but that was not his approach in this fight. His approach was he put on massive weight. He went to 273 at the weigh-in, and you know he was probably bigger by the time he stepped into the ring, and just mauled him. That was the approach. He mauled him. It was ugly. It was effective, but it was not a pretty like aesthetically pleasing fight. By
both
any
of those
means.
Guys just look too big and kind of loppy.
Yeah, it just did not have. When I remember, like even like Holyfield Riddick Bowe, like
yeah.
those fights, or
they
like
were smooth.
The exchanges that were for heavyweight fighters who are typically not like you're going to get the more technical fighters are going to be at the lower weight classes, but if those guys, man, Tyson was such a like technically sound. And I just felt like watching it, I'm going, this is the best we've got in the heavyweight division.
It is. It is.
This is the best we have. And all props to Fury. He did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
He mauled him. He went on the attack. He wasn't fighting defensively. And he just took it to him. I mean, it was just from I think personally, and it's amazing when, you know, I talk to, good friends with Mark Ratner, who was the, you know, Mark was the Nevada State Athletic Commissioner for a long time and did so many, I mean, so many big boxing matches in Las Vegas. Now he works, you know, he's with the UFC in government affairs and was key in getting, you know, the UFC and MMA regulated in many states, particularly New York. And I remember talking to him about just the inequity. I think Kenny Bayless is one of the better referees, probably the best referee out there right now. And I don't know what he made for the fight, but when you think about the purses of the two fighters and then the third person in the ring, like I guarantee you Kenny Bayless didn't make more than probably maybe $50,000 to $75,000 for that fight. And he was working his ass off because he literally had to break them up because Fury was, like I said, mauling Wilder, and he had to work his ass off to get them. And he actually took a point away from Fury. Not that it mattered, but he took a point away for holding, which I wish, you know, had Kenny Bayless, you know, and he was probably too young at the time to be the referee. If he had been the referee for Hagler Leonard instead of Richard Steele, you know, Leonard holding instead of, I'm going to get worked up because I'm still upset about that decision. Richard Steele warned Leonard for holding like 83 times in that fight, holding and hitting, and never took a point away. And it was the most ridiculous scoring, number one, 118-111. Jojo Guerra scored the fight for Leonard, which is ridiculous. But anyway, I digress. Worked his ass off. Really, Fury just... But the thing that I want to talk about is what the entrance is. Like... I haven't seen two entrances like that in the same fight. Like, what were the odds that the fight was going to last, was going to be shorter than the two ring entrances?
How long was it? Was the entrance?
I'm not exaggerating. It felt like a legit 10 to 12 minutes.
Each.
Per?
It was insane.
Each. It was forever.
The fight was like Fury, 27 minutes.
Fury came in on a throne and...
Was that like an Apollo Creed?
I don't know what it was. It was weird. And Deontay Wilder, like, he does the mask thing, and then he had a rapper rap, and it was an ode to, like, February Black History Month, and it was an ode to Black history and great, you know, people in Black history, but it was just so long. Like, it was, can we get a, Travis, can you, like, how long was the entrances?
Yeah, let me look. I'm looking at, Fury came in on, like, this throne, huh?
Yeah, yes. It was insane. And then...
You know what these entrances made me really miss?
Pride.
Mike Tyson, just too. Just a cut-off sweater, black shorts, nothing fancy. Just came in and mauled
sweatshirt.
Dudes.
It was like just like that kind of cut-off sweatshirt and just came in. He was ridiculous. He, you know, and he was very, like, very low key, like, you know, black... You know, the trunks, nothing with the trunks, black shoes, gloves, nothing fancy at
just
all.
So you know, I wore a short sleeve hooded sweatshirt to the fight in honor of Iron Mike.
Of Iron Mike.
It was Hugo Boss, but it was kind of a similar.
Yeah,
you know,
of course, Hugo Boss.
Similar concept there.
And then, so the fight ends. And I thought, and it was interesting because Travis, you know, watched the fight. And I love when Travis watches something, he is so excited. When it's something that you don't think he's going to watch, but you want him to watch, he's like a little kid that did something like
Dad.
That's exactly what he was today, Joe. He was like, hey, I watched the fight. The first thing, I watched the fight last night. And I was like, ignoring him. He's like, so I watched the fight. And it was,
Come on, talk to me.
I was like, do you want to talk about it, Travis? What do you want to talk about? And, but he, you know, even Travis said, did you like the stoppage? And I was like, no, that the referee didn't stop the fight. The corner threw in the towel. And when you watch it initially, like, you're kind of confused because he's on the ropes and he's taking shots, but it didn't look like the referee was going to step in right at that moment. But obviously he saw Wilder's, you know, corner throw in the towel. And that's, you know, I give them credit because he was not going to win that fight. And he looked, whatever was wrong with him, he was going to take, he was going to take an additional, you know, punishment, and it would have been just unnecessary. And I just don't think, the one punch knockout comeback was in the cards. And I gave, you know, I give the corner credit, Mark Breland and that group, credit for throwing in the towel. But then the fight ends, and can you, Joe, can you get off your phone? It's very distracting.
Sorry.
It's very distracting.
Who are you texting?
Like, stop. Are you swiping right? Like,
no.
Stop.
Are you on Tinder?
Get off the phone, Travis. Focus. Let's go. All right? No.
I've been very...
Stop.
I can't find how long the entrances were, but I did find the salary or what. He made $25,000 for reported.
$25,000.
There was a couple of funny moments in there when he was like trying... He was going to break...
Yeah.
He was like backing up. Like,
he's the most important person at times in that ring, and $25,000, and these guys are making how much? How many millions?
I heard that
it's insane.
Fury donated his whole purse, $9 million.
To who?
To who?
Homeless.
That's pretty impressive. Good for him.
I don't know if it's true. I just saw it on Instagram. Well,
this is a guy that, I mean, Fury's an interesting person.
Yeah.
I mean, he went, you know, he beat Vladimir Klitschko, and then he went basically on a hiatus for 3 years, substance abuse. He dealt with depression, and he's been very open about it.
Wasn't he like 400 pounds at some time?
He ballooned up. Yeah, it was just bad. And then obviously came back, and it's a great story. But then, I mean, I really like the guy, because then he wins and then he has a karaoke session.
Yes. And what was the song?
American Pie by Don McLean. And he, like, I don't know the meaning, the reason behind it. Like, but everybody was singing with him, like his fans. But I, like, when he went into the second verse, I was like, he's going to sing the whole song. Like, he is legit going to sing the whole song. Like, this is insane. But, you know, it was... I'll give it to you this way. It was for the lack of how, you know, I don't think it was a great fight. It was entertaining. Like, the entire thing was entertaining, from the ring entrances to him. I thought Wilder was very gracious in defeat. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because there's a rematch clause. The loser
30
has
days,
30
right?
days yeah. to enact the rematch clause. And I think, because I thought Fury won the first fight and it ended up in the draw. Obviously, the drama of the knockdown in the last round and Fury getting up. But I think the better fight right now is Joshua. I think that's the better fight to make. But obviously, Wilder, if I'm Wilder, I want the rematch. I mean, there's money in the...
I just don't think he has a shot.
I don't think he has a shot either.
Because if you think about...
I mean, like, that's the blueprint.
So 19 rounds, he maybe won four.
I mean, in the first fight, a slimmed down Fury outboxed him, and in this fight, the bigger Fury just mauled him. I think this is the blueprint. I don't know what.
And Deontay came in, I think, 20 pounds heavier than the first.
I don't know
what he did.
I don't know what Wilder could do differently to make up that difference. Like, I just think he. I don't think he has. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think obviously I would imagine he's going to enact the rematch clause, because there's big money to be made. He loses that fight, then hopefully we get Joshua and Fury, and then. But I still think,
man, I'm so upset with myself for that. I put money on Wilder in Vegas.
Why?
And I don't.
He was a favorite too. I mean, it wasn't a big favorite, but
he was pretty. I mean, not huge, but I watched the whole fight one on the way, and I was like, this dude's outclassing him. And I just got sold by everybody was on him. Everybody was like, he's going to knock him out.
We had that one. That's the whole thing with Wilder, is that can you stay with him for 12 rounds and not get caught with that one shot? But it didn't even look like, I mean, he did, he landed one or two right hands, but it just didn't look like he had it last night. I don't know.
He's very robotic. It's a big right left hook. And if you could just dodge those two.
Yeah, you look at his record. I mean, even the fight against Luis Ortiz, his last fight, he was losing that fight and he ended up knocking him out. But I just don't, you know, I just miss the heavyweights. I didn't grow up with, really. I was too young for Ali and Frazier, but I've obviously followed it and watched it since then. But, I mean, Larry Holmes and Ken Norton and Tyson and Holyfield, like those guys.
Did you know that Tyson used to get hypnotized before the fights? heard that on Rogan today.
Really? Like hypnotized by like...
Diamata was his guy?
Customata,
yeah, yeah. He would hypnotize him. Like from when he was a kid.
Really?
He'd hypnotize Tyson.
Well, that was the thing. Crazy. See, the Tyson, and I watched the 30 for 30 on, the 42-1 Buster Douglas. And that was interesting because, I mean, that really, the Customato dying was the turning point.
Well, and that's what Rogan was saying is that he couldn't hypnotize him anymore.
He was his father figure. He was everything. When he died, it was like Tyson. Then there was other people around him. He didn't have that direction. And then that Buster Douglas fight. Like you watched the 30 for 30. God, I wish you could have, I would have known what going into the fight. Cause I would have put all my money on Douglas, like knowing what was happening with Tyson going in and how Douglas was like, his mom had just died, how focused he was and how he was like, he was so confident and Tyson was just like everything with Robin Givens and everything just seemed to be crumbling around him. And it was funny. They were talking to the odds makers. They started the fight, I think, at 25-1. They couldn't get anybody to bet on Douglas. And it kept going up to finally at 42-1, they started getting some bets on Douglas. Yeah. But it's insane. Like, it's crazy.
You should listen to that Rogan pod, the fight companion from yesterday. Brian Callen was on there talking about watching fights at Sly's house.
Nice.
And he was name dropping.
I've watched a fight.
He didn't throw Martino in there, though. I was like, what?
A fight at Sly's house, by the way.
I'm not invited to Sly's because I watched Rocky over the weekend.
Oh, here's another one. This is another one. The first one.
And I definitely hadn't seen it before.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry. Maybe by how bad the acting was. But overall.
Dude, you're definitely not ever coming to Sly's.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am.
Oscar winning movie. Are you kidding me?
That's why I was messing with you. I didn't say that yesterday when I told you about it.
I've never seen him. He's about to come over
the table.
He's about to start a lawnmower on your ass.
No, continue.
No, I did. I thought it was good, but not great. I mean, what am I? I know.
Not good. It was good, not great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not chomping at the bit to go watch the next ones and three and four. And I don't know. It's just me.
If Napoleon Dynamite 2 comes out, I'm first in line.
God, you beat me the
punch.
How
did Napoleon Dynamite become my movie?
I was just
going to
say, like, Napoleon Dynamite. It wasn't no Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, do you know what, Travis? Don't stop. Don't even watch any more Rockies because I don't want you.
I'm not sure that I will.
But I
did tell you, like, I liked Over the Top.
Oh, his Sly. Favorite Stallone movie is Over the Top.
Rambo was cool too, but I'm just not into that violence like that and boxing. Right. It's not my
thing. I'm just glad it wasn't Cobra. Like,
I didn't see Cobra.
Don't.
Yeah.
Over the Top was ridiculous. Yeah. Lincoln Hawk, the fact that he had the arm workout in his truck that he could just pull down on, so he was always ready. Like, this guy was a truck driver. He was a single father, but he made money by like hustling dudes in arm wrestling matches.
Does ESPN the Ocho still do arm wrestling competitions?
I'm gonna put one of those in a Tesla, dude.
Just keep.
Oh, there we go. Now we're talking Tesla.
All right.
Everything's right in the world again.
Switching gears. Let's switch gears. The other crazy thing that happened, and I really feel like this got overshadowed by the fight, because I think this is the quirkiest rule in all of sports. And you know, I'm a rules guy, but I believe like there's some crazy rules out there, but this is the quirkiest rule in all of the sports. The emergency goalie in NHL. In hockey. Joe doesn't even know what it is. He's looking at me like he's crazy. Okay.
An emergency goalie?
Wait, so Joe, here's the rule. Okay, each hockey team carries two goalies. You have a starter and your backup, right? Mm-hmm. Every arena, there's an emergency goalie. It's like the automatic quarterback, okay? The emergency goalie is specific to that arena. If a team loses both of their goalies, then that emergency goalie goes in for either team.
For either team.
So okay? I could be a king, but I have to go be the goalie for another team.
So this is what happened. Like, it's happened before, but this has been, I think this is the most important one for several reasons. Okay, so David Ayres, he's the emergency goalie in Toronto. Okay, he's the Zamboni driver.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And he's like there, he's a practice goalie for the Maple Leafs. He's 42.
At one point he played for the Marlies, which played, is like their minor league.
He played for minor league, right? Yeah. And I so I pulled up his career record for
I saw this too.
For wait. For the Marlies. Okay, so he allowed 58 goals. He had a 7.77 save percentage, which is not good, and he had an 0-8 record.
I saw that.
Okay, 0-8 record. So
that means you're batting .333 against the dude.
Yeah, you don't like most goalies. You've got to be in like 8 or above. Like even 8 is not great. So he the Marlies, which is Toronto's AHL team. So he's the third emergency goalie to play in the modern era. But what's important is that so he goes in the game for the Hurricanes, the other team. Okay. He gives up two goals on the first two shots. Right? He comes in the second period. He plays 28 minutes and 41 seconds, which is by far the longest an emergency goalie has ever played. Gives up two goals on the first shots. Goes into the third period and shuts them out.
Wow.
In the third period, and they win.
Just zoned in. Just got zoned
win
in.
The game. They're like, both these teams are like fighting for playoffs. And so he's basically a Toronto Maple Leafs employee, and he's in the Hurricanes locker room getting like crazy cheer. The it's in Toronto, so the Maple Leafs fans are cheering
for him.
42 years old. It's the craziest thing. Like, I don't think people really understand. It's like, so now what I want to do is let's try to figure out the equivalent in other sports. Like in the NFL, what would be the equivalent? It's like say the kicker, right?
Yeah. Like I think you got to go kicker.
The kicker, the emergency kicker who is
he's throwing around churros. Churro. Yeah. Hey, we need you to come down.
He works. Yeah, he's like a concessions guy, but he's the emergency kicker, and he's here like he's in LA, and he's the emergency kicker for both teams. The Patriots kicker gets all their kickers get injured, and
it's week 15.
He has to kick the game-winning field goal against the Rams. And that's going to mean a playoff spot.
Hey, get the churro guy down.
Like, yeah, like wait, it's so crazy that the NHL doesn't have like a team can carry. The NFL used to have a third quarterback rule, whereas if two quarterbacks went down, you had a third quarterback. It was an additional roster. It was an additional player on the you have a 40. You had a 45 player roster that were active. This was a 46 player, but there were rules like if the third quarterback went into the game in the first three quarters, the other two couldn't go back until the fourth. So it kind of allowed for, didn't allow for manipulation, but it prevented, a team being screwed having two of their quarterbacks hurt. But each team had one. There wasn't the guy that lived that was in the stadium that was just specific to that stadium.
So so the most important question. Who drove the Zamboni? Third period.
I think I was.
Does he have a backup? Dude, that's like a dream come true for that guy too.
Imagine like he's in the locker room. He's in, and they're like, "Where's Dave? Where's Dave?" And like, well, no, Dave went in the game. Like he's played, but who's gonna, dude?
Wait, get those pads off. We need somebody.
Somebody's got to drive. And
Todd's been drinking. He can't drive the Zamboni.
And there was the one guy that always dreamt the dream of the Zamboni. Right. And this was his moment, and he like jumped in.
Or is it like layers? There's now the concession guy, the guy that sells popcorn.
I don't know, but that's
everybody has.
What's that meeting like between the two teams? Like, hey, yeah, so we got this guy Dave. You know, he played for the Marlies at one point.
Who's
like his career got derailed because he had like a surgery.
Yeah, he had a kidney transplant. Yeah. Like this guy, it's unbelievable. They have to do a documentary, something.
I hope they miss the playoffs by one game.
Something. Oh, man. Because it's
will he be the most hated man in Toronto at that point?
Oh God!
It's so good. Like it's so good that this rule exists.
I love it.
It's so good that this happened. That it is. I just think it's awesome. Like it's just awesome. But anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, well, let's go back to football. Let's do a little XFL Week 3 recap, and then we'll talk NFL rules, CBA, what's going on in the offseason. Next on Good Calls. All right, we're back. XFL week three. I feel good. I feel like week three, we've got a pretty good idea of like where everybody is. Like where from a team perspective. I thought the games were really good. Games Saturday were closer. Sunday not as close, but some surprises. I think you look at Houston 3-0, had a really a good game with Tampa. Went down, 34-28, I think the final was. They kind of went back and forth. Tampa finally scored some points. They had been moving the ball really well, but hadn't been putting it in the end zone. Then you had the St. Louis looks good. St. Louis, I think they played New York on Sunday. That was... If I'm putting together a professional sports league, there's a couple of markets, a couple of cities that I'm putting teams in, and St. Louis is one of them.
They were star for football.
They have been star for football. I think they had 30,000 at the game, at the Dome, and what a great environment. Some of the fans, there were some pretty cool. Like one of the things I saw, I don't know if these guys made them or what, but they were because they're the Battle Hawks, so they had wings. And they had like strings on the wings that you pull and the wings flap. And they were like the Battle Hawk. It was
pretty cool. Can you give me some of those?
Really cool. The other thing is, I think there were a lot of fans there that were just like, didn't really pay that much attention to the type of bird that they were being, because I think they just went with, it's a bird.
They just brought a bird.
It was just, so there was eagles. There was other types
of birds.
Probably
a lot of cardinals.
There was other types of birds, but they weren't all Hawks, but it's fine. It's the first home game.
And how about the little girl? She said she wanted a football for a
Girl
box
Scout
of Thin Mints.
Girl Scout cookies, and so she got a football. So
it's great.
Good play. Yeah. I heard McMahon went on NPR, and they asked him about Kaepernick coming to the league, and he kind of skirted the question. Did you hear about that?
I didn't see that. No. I just know
that... I
don't
think Kaepernick wants to play
football. Well, I just know that the contract, from what I've heard, and it was the same with the AAF and last year in the spring, that the contract, what he's asking for financially is just not something that these leagues are either can or are willing to pay.
That's what he said. He basically said he can afford it, and then the NPR guy gave him a little bit of heat about, oh, you can't afford to pay the best players, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's just, I think it's different. I think you have a scale of salaries that you're paying players. And I know, look, they're doing, you know, when teams win, they get an extra $100,000 to split. So they're not skimping. I don't think if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to ask for an exorbitant amount of money because if I go to the XFL and suck, that's not good. That's not going to be...
Football hasn't been his focus for so many years. I don't think he's going to be any good.
Yeah, it would have to be something, you know, I'm not going to do it for chum change. So, but I just think the play is getting better on the officiating side. I think the officials are getting more comfortable. And I think we're starting to see, like, you know, which teams are really... Obviously, Houston's undefeated. St. Louis looked really good, and you know they're 2-1.
You know, like Dallas is hitting their stride.
Dallas,
with
Landry Jones played well. LA surprised me. We were all talking about DC. They were 2-0. They were really impressive in their first two games, and LA really just put it on them. And on Sunday,
another
like 39
team that had their quarterback missing the first week.
And yeah, exactly. Well. And so if the quarterback play can continue to improve, I think we're going to see, you know, I think we're going to see even better football. I like where the officials are. You know, they're just, again, just getting, you know, cohesiveness as a crew. There's been some really cool, you know, you get that look into the replay booth and you can hear and listen what's going on. We had some really good examples of that, especially in that LA, DC game. So, you know, I'm excited about, you know, where it is and where it can go, you know, going forward. You know, as we talk about we had our first kickoff return for touchdown. And again,
great play.
It was like a reverse backward pass. And you know, I think the kick return, over 90% of XFL kickoffs are getting returned, when you compare that to the NFL, the NFL last year, the touchback rate is, you know, almost 60%, you know, probably higher. So I think, you know, as we talk about the NFL and rules and things like that, the NFL is going into their rules making process. And so what's happening in Indianapolis this week is leading up to the combine, the competition committee will meet. They're meeting, they start Sunday, they go through Tuesday or Wednesday, and they're going to start to talk about potential rules changes. And one of the things, you know, they'll look at is, you know, the kickoff, and do we need to make any changes to the kickoff? They'll have their health and safety group, their medical staffs come in, present the data on injuries and all injuries, head and neck injuries, concussions, lower extremity, everything. And the committee will go through that, look for trends, things that maybe, you know, are we seeing injuries in certain areas where we can correct it with a rule change? And so that's taking place over the next couple of days. And then that'll lead to the league meeting, which takes place in, toward the end of March. Really, the other thing that's happening is the CBA. And there's been a lot of discussion about the CBA. I think this is a, you know, critical. The deal it runs through the 2020 season. So it's not necessarily that they have to get a deal done, but I think they want to get a deal done. And I think from an ownership perspective, the incentive is get the deal done with the players, and that's Joe, are you looking it up on your phone so that you can get more information?
Of course.
Okay. So the
I just called him out for
I think
that
the too, incentive by the, way. The incentive is really, you know, if you have the CBA in place, then, you know, part of that is a 17-game schedule. Part of that would be another postseason game, so adding two teams to the postseason, so you have another wild card game. And that gives the NFL more inventory to go to the networks when they renegotiate these deals. More inventory is going to mean what? More money.
The players want more money.
And so I think there is incentive to get the deal done. I think the players feel, and it was interesting because the executive, so the union's executive council, which is made up of 11 members, 11 players, they negotiated with the league, with the league, management council, they negotiated this deal, this CBA. The owners came into New York last week and they voted to ratify this agreement. The executive committee for the players union then voted 6-5 not to recommend it. So they negotiated it and then voted 6-5 not to recommend it. So when they went to the players reps were like confused. Because, like, wait a minute, you negotiated it. Now you're voting 6-5. Why? Right? And so every team has a players rep, 32 teams, 32 players reps. And they're saying, why? So the meeting was about, you know, why are they, what are they against? Why are they, you know, and it basically comes down to this 17-game season. And that's extra wear and tear on the players. And they want, you know, they want more coming back from that, from the owners in order to do that. So what happens now? They can still, even without a recommendation from the executive council or from the players reps, they can vote. And if they get, if they get a 50% plus one saying we're going to ratify it, then it's ratified. And it's not just if there's 2,100 players, not all 2,100 have to vote. So if they get 500 votes, then 251 have to vote yes. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. They're going to meet in Indianapolis, the players union and the management council for the league. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know it was not a unanimous vote by the owners. So they don't necessarily, there's some owners that don't feel like it's a deal that they would want to go for. But again, that could be just posturing as well, because if it's unanimous, then that's a message to the players to say, oh, wait a minute, if they're unanimous, what they think that they're getting a great deal, maybe we need to take a step back. So we'll see how it all goes. But the combine in Indy is interesting because there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, you have the players coming in, you're going to have all the workouts, you have all these meetings, you have NCAA meetings. It's just an interesting time. And so we'll see, we're going to learn a lot about, you know, rules changes potential, both NCAA and NFL, and we'll see what happens with the CBA. But I think it's important for everyone involved that if they can get this deal done, then you negotiate that you have a stronger position to negotiate with the networks, and everybody's going to benefit from that, right? Because if the players are going to get, 47% of the revenue, and that's going to go up to 48%, right? That percentage of a bigger number is obviously going to benefit them. I will say this, that the league year starts March 18th. So the owners, they want to get this done, before then, because then they can say, okay, we will operate under the new collective bargaining agreement starting March 18th. That would not include a 17-game season. So even if they get the deal done, we won't see a 17-game season until the earliest 2021. But they would add the extra playoff game in each conference. So it's interesting to see how that all plays out. Now, as a fan, as you're thinking about this, do you ever, like, at what point, because we did have a lockout back in 2011.
11, yeah.
At what point as a fan do you, start to worry about that? Are you worrying about that? Is that even a thought right now? We may not have football at some point.
I think this discussion is the first time I've actually thought about it. Thinking at any point it could happen, it hasn't even crossed my mind. But now thinking about it, it's there's no way. There's no way they're going to do a lockout or a work stoppage. I can't imagine that would happen. But what do I know?
I agree. I think that as a fan, you just kind of follow general media.
Right.
And as it becomes more prevalent on SportsCenter and Fox or wherever, then you start to worry about it. But I haven't even heard anything about it yet.
Yeah, if any way they made it through this season without getting a deal in place, then that's when you'd start to
what
worry.
I did hear is that Tua said he wants to be a Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, it was just his favorite team.
That's the team he grew up
for. Do you think
for.
that changes anything in the draft perception?
I don't
think so. No. Absolutely not. I think just the context. That's just clickbait too. They say
sure.
If I'm a 19-year-old kid, and they say, oh, well, who would you love to play for? And I would say, oh, I grew up a Giants fan. How cool would that be to play? Obviously, but I'm going to go to any team that drafts me.
Yeah, I'd be happy to play for anyone.
Play for,
my favorite team.
Obviously, it would be great to sit behind Dak and blah blah blah. But that's not.
You know what I'd say? I'm either surfing or skiing. Where's that
I'll
from?
Either surf or ski, Jerry Maguire. So, but yeah, they screwed Jerry Maguire over big time.
Yeah.
Kush, his dad was like,
his words as strong as oak.
He said, that made me so upset, that scene.
Dude.
When he, first of all, Jerry Maguire has that moment. He writes the mission statement.
Hold on one sec. Have you seen Jerry Maguire,
Travis?
Oh,
look at him. He's not saying anything because he hasn't.
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And you're in this field at some level.
I don't watch fake stuff, man.
It's not fake. It's real.
It's a movie. It's fake.
It's based on.
So anyway, okay. So
I haven't seen it. Sorry. Jerry, I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Okay, so Jerry Maguire works for this big agency, and he has this moment where he learns one of his clients is a hockey player, right? He gets concussed. He's in the hospital, and Jerry Maguire is talking to him, and he talks to the kid, and it's like his eighth concussion. And Jerry Maguire's like, your dad's a tank. He can't, he's going to be fine. And the kid's like, screw you. This is my family. And he has this moment like, oh my God, what have I been? I've been a part of this. And so he writes this mission statement and they basically fire him. Jay Moore, who was his protege, fires him. And he's a real dick in the movie. And he loses all his clients except for one who's Cuba Gooding, who plays, what's his name in the movie? He's a receiver for the Cardinals.
Was this his last good movie he was in?
What was his name? Well, he won the Academy Award.
Ray?
No, what was it?
Wasn't it Ray?
It's not Ray. What the hell?
What was his name?
You guys keep thinking about it. I'm
so he plays,
I remember
Cuba
he
Gooding
the Quan.
Plays, yeah, the Quan is what he wanted. Yeah. But
what was his name? Ray.
No, Ray.
His name was Ray.
It was not Ray.
Oh no, the brother's name was Ray.
It was not Ray. I guarantee you, Cuba Gooding's name was not Ray in that movie.
What was his name?
I'll bet
Travis?
You whatever you want. What was his name?
We're getting there. His name was
Oh my, are you, how old are you? Can you not find something on the internet?
Rod Tidwell.
Rod Tidwell. Yeah. So it's, that's the only client he keeps. And Rod Tidwell is not like a superstar, but he's like, who would be the NFL equivalent of Rod Tidwell? He's like the guy that he gets like 1,000 yards every year.
Maybe like Anquan Boldin?
He gets like 1,000 yards every year. He gets like, you know, 8 touchdowns every year, but you never hear about him like as like a top fantasy pick. He's just like solid. But when you look at his stats, you go, oh man, Rod Tidwell's had 4 years in a row of 1,000 yards. And you're like, who? And then you're like, Rod Tidwell for next year's fantasy. Don't tell anybody. And so he keeps Rod Tidwell, but his major prospect is the number one draft pick quarterback, and his name is Kush Cushman. And he's got Kush. He goes to New York, and Kush's dad screws him over and signs with the asshole, Jay Moore, because Jay Moore tells him that Jerry Maguire lost his mind and flipped out. And,
but the scene, the part that Dean skipped, are you getting there?
Go ahead.
To the my words as strong as oak part?
Well, Jerry calls the hotel room and, no, Jerry's in the hotel room and the phone rings and it's Jay Moore and Jerry picks up Tom Cruise picks up the phone and pretends he's Kush and he's like, this Kush. And Jay Moore's like, hey, is McGuire there? Just sniff if he's there. And he's like, all right, you're with the big boys now. And he's basically telling them that, you know, telling Jerry Maguire that you're getting screwed. And Jerry hangs up the phone and like knows it. And he takes a pad and he goes up to Kush's dad. He's like, you know what? Let's just put something in writing that you're with Jerry Maguire. And he's like, the dad's like, no. And he's like, basically, Joe, you got to help me here.
He said,
I'm texting my children. Anyway, you are not. Yeah, right. Stop. For our listeners, Joe is, he's just saying that so that he can, oh, he's a good dad. All right. So anyway, Jerry Maguire gets screwed over. Kush goes with Jay Moore and Jerry Maguire stays with Rod Tidwell. Rod Tidwell has this amazing game on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. And he signs a big contract, and then everybody wants to go to Jerry Maguire. He marries Renee Zellweger, and Renee Zellweger's kid is cute and he's like glasses.
He's the one with the glasses, yeah.
But now he's jacked. There was the pictures of him older,
and that's the whole movie.
And that's
Travis. Yeah, we talked about it way too long.
You don't have to watch it. That's Jerry Maguire. All right. On that note, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk in the cube. We're going to talk the difference between Waka and Waka next on Good Cause. All right, we're back on Good Cause. Now that we got Jerry Maguire straight,
Joe's phone's put away.
Travis is shadow boxing because he watched Rocky and he loves the movie so much.
Amped.
So in the cube this weekend, we're there for XFL week 3 and we're watching the Houston game. And Houston's quarterback is so far the early favorite for
MVP.
MVP. You know, he was with the Colts for a little bit and he's playing unbelievable.
If this guy was 3 inches taller, he'd be an NFL
As Joe would be an NFL tight end.
Myself, yeah. 4 inches taller. Thank you.
So,
how short is he?
Hopefully he gets a look.
He's not, he's like 5'10", 5'11". Yeah. But
Breeze.
He was on the screen, okay? And his last name is W-A-L-K-E-R. PJ W-A-L-K-E-R. And he is on the screen.
How do you pronounce that, Joe?
Walker.
Okay. He is on the screen. And Travis is sitting there and he's going, oh, Waka. He played at Wyoming and his brother pitched for the Cardinals.
It's always a Wyoming.
And I go, what are you talking about? Have you been paying attention?
He's like, have you not been watching the last 3 weeks?
PJ Walker's not, like, he's not, his brother doesn't play for the Cardinals.
And he was almost as mad as when I said acting was bad in Rocky.
I was like, Walker does not, like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, I'm not talking about Walker. I'm talking about Waka. Lucas Walker,
he plays linebacker for the Vipers.
So he said W-A-C-H-A. And so my Long Island accent, I'm like, Waka is the quarterback, P.J. Walker. So we were like literally like we were speaking two different languages.
That's funny. And like, the look he gave me, he was so mad. He's like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm talking about the linebacker here.
Then he comes out with this thing. I don't even know. I still don't know what you were talking about. So I need you to explain it to me. He starts talking about some shit that they used to do in Wyoming where they were spinning nickels at McDonald's.
Well, it's explain stupid. It's stupid adolescent stuff. So we were talking about McMillions. Like Bondo and Scott were talking about McMillions and how we didn't.
Oh, Bondo's into, there too. So everyone's back.
Oh, yeah, but you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone but you. Sorry, bud. Yeah. But anyway, so we're talking about McDonald's and how we walked to the local McDonald's when we were in junior high and whatever. And I was like, yeah, we used to do all kinds of stupid stuff when we were kids. And I was like, yeah, did you guys ever do the nickel trick with the plastic salt and pepper shakers? And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, you spin a nickel on the table and you slam the salt shaker on top of it. And then you slide it to the middle of the table and there's no residue, no salt there. But the next person who picks it up, all the salt falls out the bottom.
Is that
it breaks the bottom?
Yeah, it breaks the bottom.
We used to do the same thing, but with the Parmesan and pepper.
Yeah.
You know, the standard Parm and pepper shakers at pizza parlors?
Yes,
so if you unscrew them, put a napkin on the top, flip it over, slide the napkin out, and then you take the top and just set it on top, it looks identical to if it was... So we used to go to Chuck E. Cheese and do them all, and every time somebody go pick up the pepper or Parm, it'd fall over. All over the place.
But that's more like, I get that one.
Yeah.
But the slamming the nickel on the salt in McDonald's, like,
well, because it breaks the bottom.
Because it breaks the bottom. Effect. So then, yeah, when you lift it up, all the salt just falls out the bottom.
But it costs you a nickel to be retained. Yeah. See, we got to do it for free.
Yeah.
Can't you do it? I don't. Yeah, I still don't. All right.
Well, they don't do those plastic salt and pepper shakers anymore. So
plastic.
Yeah, like I don't think that's like.
You're talking about like the gray and black ones.
Yeah, the gray and black ones.
I'll get one of those at Smart and Final.
Yeah,
I'll bring you the cube if you guys ever invite me over.
Well, they don't. Yeah, they don't do it. They don't use those plastic ones.
No, it was the ones that were at the table. They don't have those things at the table anymore because back in the day, you know, people were trusted. Unlike
now, people just steal. They would just steal it.
They would just steal that.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense now. I thank you for you put it in language that I understand. When you said Parmesan,
it was a trick on the next person.
When you said Parmesan and pizza, that was now. I was like, I'm only half Italian. We're still there.
So
next time, Travis, just put it in some context, like if it involves something in chicken parm or something along those lines.
One of my favorite lines from Rocky was, "Yeah, if he's not a good fighter, you know he's a good cook." The Italian stallion, because all Italians cook, right, Dean?
That's your best line?
Jeez.
You're
showing us who you are.
So I was in Bristol Farms. I was telling Travis I was in Bristol Farms during the weekend.
Of course you were.
I love that store.
It's a great store.
It's a great store.
But no, it's just, I like walking around.
Hey, I just shop at Vons. I don't know.
I go to Vons too. And so I was walking in Bristol Farms and I was this... very attractive woman was coming down the aisle and I was going the opposite way and we were passing each other and she just said hi. And I was so taken aback that she said hi and I said good.
And I
kept going and I'm like walking away like, what the? I was like, that still got it. I was like, what? Like, so now, like, normally you'd want to run back into her, right? Well, no. Now I'm, like, trying to, like, avoid like, the plague.
Oh, my God, that's a girl.
That's
a girl. Go away.
Like, that's the guy. Oh, he's special. That's the guy that said, because, you ever get on an elevator and somebody, like, says hi to you and you're not expecting it and you get stuck between how you want, you're like, who the, like, you don't know what to say.
That's every show open for me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Jose. Travis, it was just like, I didn't know, like, it didn't even have to be an attractive person. It could have been anybody just said hi to me. And I just,
you were just zoned in on something.
I just zoned in. Like, I was zoned in on, I was like, okay, we're going to go, we're in the cheese aisle, then we're going to go. And I just was like, I was anticipating a how are you, I guess. And I was answering how are you, and it was just a, you know, a hi.
Oh, wait. So attractive women just say, open you up all the time? They just say words
no,
to you? No. I wouldn't anticipate any. I'd be the one saying hi to her, hoping for a good.
My whole point was that doesn't happen. Like people don't just say hello to me. And not that I want them to say hello to me. Growing up in New York, it's like, you're weird if you say. But it just was, I was just taken aback. And I said, good.
Go to Wyoming. I say hi to people all the time.
Go to Wyoming.
Especially in elevators. Oh. My favorite.
No, my favorite was when I was last year, I was in the national championship, Alabama Clemson, and I was in the hotel that was up in San Francisco. And I was in the hotel, and there was a bunch of Alabama people at the hotel. And I got in the elevator, and the guy just looks at me and goes, Roll Tide. And that was it. Like,
that's the perfect
response.
That's
all he said. And I was like,
Roll Tide. Did you give him a Roll Tide back?
I was like, Roll Tide. Yeah, you got it. Like, what, you know? So it's, yeah, not that doesn't happen to me every day. But
you don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
That's so good.
So the other thing that you missed was Scott. So Scott works with us and I want to bring him on the podcast. I think I want to do a guest appearance by Scott. I asked him a question because I honestly don't know. I don't follow politics. I've vote, but I'm not like big into politics. Obviously the election coming up, there's been a lot of political stuff coming up. And
we're not discussing the issues because that's not part of the show.
We're not discussing the issues, but I asked Scott, I said, do you have to, as part of a political ad, do you have to say, like, there was a Bloomberg ad and it said, I'm Mike Bloomberg and I approve of this message. And I was like, do you have to do that? Like, is that a law? Is that a rule? And Scott explained that why they do that is because there's these, what do they call, super PACs so if I support Bloomberg, I can run an ad for Mike Bloomberg without his permission and I can say whatever the hell I want. And so by saying I'm Mike Bloomberg and I support this ad, I only those ads are attributed to me.
Right.
And everybody else, I can just say, hey, that's not me. Those are supporters, but I don't really agree with what they're saying. And Scott was on a roll. So he starts talking about, and he starts doing ads as if I was running for office. And he's like, Dean Blandino wants to bring.
You can't in the middle of the joke. Scott.
No, he does. It was so, he's like, Dean Blandino wants to bring criminals into your neighborhood. and then he's like, but actually what you did was you started a program rehabilitating people coming out of jail to start them learning about trades and giving them jobs in your neighborhood. But the ad is Dean Blandino wants criminals to live in your neighborhood. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yes, because the other guys could now advertise for you. Yeah. If you don't say, I approve of this,
I approve of this message. And so he was just like, then he just started doing like a whole bunch of them. And it was
We can't say most of them.
But it was hilarious. And like, so we're going to have him come on and talk about politics.
Sounds like a great idea.
Right. The other thing I want, so my 4-year-old Cal, he's turning 5 in 2 weeks. Me and him were hanging out during the week and he just goes, he's like, and she's on, so I don't want her to say it, but he's like, you know, Alexa. And he's like, so he's talking to Alexa. See, she's listening.
She's always
listening.
Creepy.
Shut up. You know, now I got to cut that.
You don't have to
making
cut
my
anything.
Job harder.
You don't have to cut that. It's just her talking. We're not playing anything copyrighted.
Nobody wants to hear her.
Definitely.
Alexa, stop. So, okay, let's call it Amanda. So so he says, Amanda, play Roxanne. And I'm like, oh, Roxanne,
it's
the police.
It's the new one, right?
It's the new one. And
there's,
I'm like,
a new Roxanne?
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Travis, you're going to read the lyrics. So
it's a good song.
Yeah, so I go, I start listening to the lyrics. I'm listening to the song. I go, how do you know this song? He's like, I know this song. He's 4 and he's singing this song. So Travis, pull up Alexa. It's by, what's the guy's name?
Sting.
No. That's what I thought. Zervas? Arizona Zervas.
Yeah.
So I thought it was the police version of Roxanne, but no, it's
I didn't know there
Arizona
was another Roxanne.
Exactly. So
yet another under a rock.
Of course you didn't. Yeah. So read the lyrics, Travis.
All for the gram. Bitches love the gram. Oh, wait, shit. Burr, 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 A. Skirt, skirt. Roxanne, Roxanne. All she want to do is party all night. Goddamn, Roxanne. Never going to love me, but it's all right.
Go ahead.
She think I'm an asshole. She think I'm a player. She keep running back, though. Yeah. Only because I pay up. Roxanne, Roxanne. This, all she want to do is party all night. Your 4-year-old singing this?
So this is the influence of the 9-year-old. Huh. And the 9-year-old and his friends, then they listen to that. And now the 4-year-old, and I'm a bad dad. Because basically now he listens to that music. And he's playing the Roxanne song. And
I'm going to have to listen to this on the ride home.
Yeah, definitely listen to
it. Is it good?
Can you finish it, though? Because I like to. You're doing great.
She from Malibu, Malibu. That's it.
I don't know. You missed the whole word.
No, I skipped that part. I was just going to the part that I thought
Travis
was cool.
Doesn't want
to
read certain
No,
lines.
I mean, I already swore several times for you guys.
He swore. I heard he swore several
times. I used a swear word, you guys.
Travis, can you please not swear anymore? It's just, it's in my virgin ears. It's not good.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go Brain of Blandino.
The Brain
right.
of Blandino.
No, I got the drum roll.
Whatever, go.
If your car stalls at a railroad track, maybe you are meant to die. Did we do this one already?
Yeah, we did that one.
All right. Another one. My 2-year-old, picture the biggest asshole you know. Now picture him obnoxiously drunk. That's probably, he's 4 now.
Yeah.
This is old.
Well, that's old. I mean, that's just kids. Like kids, like, just imagine at 2, just imagine Joe obnoxiously drunk all the time.
Well, that's what we've talked about in the queue before, too. It's like all, like, just imagine any behavior of a 2-year-old as an adult and like going into a restaurant, like yelling and throwing stuff on the ground.
I just think it would be cool if adults ran indoors as much as like kids do, like between 2 and
we'd be in great shape.
Like run, like legit run, like full on sprinting. Like if we sprinted as much in houses as they do, it would be hysterical. Like, dude, where are you going so fast?
Just gotta get to my bedroom. Gotta get that stuffed animal.
Just like, look how fast I'm the Flash. Look how fast I can go. Travis, you are very fast. Travis.
You're the fastest. I'll time you this time.
You are very fast.
Wait, you guys didn't even comment on my race last week in the desert.
Well, I wasn't sure what was going on
what
there.
What was happening there? You were sending us videos of you running around in the sand with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, there was these 2 high school kids that wanted to challenge me to a race. Uh-huh. Well, first, one of them said...
It was really dark. I really couldn't even see it.
One of them said, I want to guard you. You got to turn the brightness up on your phone, Travis.
No.
He's like, I'll try to guard you. So one guy, get off your phone, Dean.
You just sent me a message.
I did?
Yeah, you updated something that said Joe Madrid. That's why I looked.
Oh, it's because
he's
Brandon Blandino.
He's in the notes.
So this kid says, I play high school football. Let me try to guard you. I said, okay, let's go. Smoke the kid. I sent you guys a video. Like, he literally fell down. It would be like an Instagram hit if I put it out there.
Why don't you put it out there? You against,
I don't do
you
that.
Against high school
I don't do
kids.
That. And then two
how
high school.
Old, how
then
old are you?
I'm 39.
Why don't you post? Why don't you post Instagram?
Yeah, other guys your age are going into NHL games and playing goalie and like shutting out
Dave
a team
Ayers,
in the
Dave
third
Ayers
period.
Is shutting out the Maple Leafs in the third period at 42. All right, Ray Mendez is coaching championship football teams. There's a kid out there with one leg that's high jumping. If you haven't seen that video, check that video.
Oh, I saw that one.
High jumping, like ridiculous.
It looked like he was going over like at least 6 feet
and
on that bar.
And you're running around with high school kids, you know. Running passing routes. Good. Well, give me one more.
All right. One more. Love when a drunk Shazam works out.
Oh.
Yeah, I do this all the time.
So I am like, I'm like a very good Major League Baseball hitter with Shazam drunk. And that's not a great percentage. Like pretty much maybe 3.5 out of every 10 drunk Shazams, I like the song in the morning.
Hmm.
Like, because when you're drinking and you're out and you hear the song and you're like, oh, this is awesome. What song is this? And you Shazam it. And then you listen to it in the morning. You're like, it's not nearly as good. But when it works out, it's awesome.
How do you recheck your Shazam? Because I always screenshot it. Because I always check my pictures the morning after I'm drinking. Just because. And then
We've had issues.
We had a couple of situations with Uber.
Because
I didn't go out. Because
when I Shazam something, it automatically goes to my library.
Oh, you got it like that?
Yeah.
You auto buy stuff?
Auto buy. I don't mess around. When I Shazam, I don't mess around.
That's what, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you want to aspire to be. When you get on TV, you just hear a song and you auto buy it. I don't do that.
I'll spend. I don't care. $1.29.
Boom.
Buy that shit.
Look at you. Bristol Farms, $1.29.
The win-win is when the drunk Shazam works out and it was 99 cents. It's like, it's made it. On that note. This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.